Well, we'll be in the same passage of Scripture that I read earlier in Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 3 is where we'll be today. It seems that most people who come to faith in the Lord Jesus at age 15 or 16 or sometimes later in life than that generally admit that sometimes it seems more difficult to live as a committed Christian. Their life is harder. And as the years roll by in the Christian faith, as we grow in our faith, it even is more obvious that the Christian life is a harder life to live than it was as an unbeliever. The closer we grow in our relationship to the Father, the more we see life through His eyes. And we interpret life through His Word. And that stress becomes even more intense. And why is that? I think one of the problems is that many of us were promised that if we would become a Christian and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He would make life easier and He would take away all of our problems. And life would be just a day at the beach every day. We may have come into the Christian life expecting that, but it wasn't very long till we realized, now that's not so. We just weren't told the truth about that. I think one of the primary reasons is now there's a constant struggle on the inside of us between the Spirit and the flesh. The Holy Spirit in us now is driving us to live a life that is worthy and pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our flesh is driving us to continue living a life for self, where self is in charge and self is on the throne and self is king, and living for the ways of the world, because then we can fit in and people won't notice us very much. That has ramifications in the rest of our spiritual life as well. And with those ramifications and this constant stress between the spirit and the flesh driving, seeking to be the driver of our spiritual lives, a lot of times we look at our spiritual lives through ourselves. We look at our spiritual life through ourselves. We focus our spiritual lives and evaluate spiritual things through the lens of me, through the lens of self. And it's a common problem. We often ask in our spiritual life, I wonder how I'm doing. I wonder what I'm doing is going to be pleasing to God or not. I wonder if I'm going to earn God's blessing or lose God's blessing by how I'm living. I wonder if I can do better. Why do I feel so empty? So spiritually powerless? How can I get more blessings from God? So we're asking these spiritual questions through the lens of self. And I'm a firm believer that when we ask the wrong questions, we'll probably get the wrong answers, and all of those are the wrong questions. The question we really need to ask ourselves requires a different lens. Many of you have glasses. We all understand sometimes we need a different lens. The lens we're looking through is blurry now. It was great a couple of years ago, but it doesn't work very well now. I need a different lens. And the same thing with our spiritual life, and ask the right question, which would be, what has God done in my life? What has the Father in heaven done? And this first section of the book of Ephesians, Paul is just bursting and gushing forth with the glories of what God has done in us and for us. And in our spiritual lives. In fact, from chapter 1, verse 3, all the way to chapter 2, verse 10, a lot of verses in there. I read a lot of them earlier. Paul focuses the spiritual life lens on God and what God has done for us. And I think once we get a grip on what God has done and we truly believe it, then we can see our own spiritual life and think about our own spiritual life. Not through ourselves and our own spiritual weakness, but through the power of God and what God has done. what God has done, we're going to see this morning, that we already possess the fullness and the completeness of all of God's blessings. And it's almost unbelievable. In fact, when we read it, you'll probably say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Nevertheless, Paul says in verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Today I can only handle one verse, verse 3. We'll talk about the other ones later. We're going to see a couple of things, but when we stop and think about verse 3, we almost think, no, that can't be right. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. If we break that apart just for a moment here, we see a couple of things. First of all, we see the Blessed One. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul introduces the extent of divine blessing, he rightly begins with praise to the source of the one providing the blessing. The word there, blessed, in the Greek, is the word from which we get the word eulogy. A eulogy. When do you think of the word eulogy? At a funeral. And somebody has passed away. Eulogetas is the Greek word. Eulogetas. We get the word eulogy. And it means to speak well of somebody, to commend them, to praise them, or to speak of their goodness. And that's usually what we get in memorial services and funeral services. That's the eulogy. Someone gets up and speaks well of someone, commends them, praises them, and speaks of their goodness. And that's what Paul is doing there. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Goodness is God's nature. We've talked about that before. God not only does good, but is perfectly good all the time. How many of you have seen the movie God's Not Dead? So God is good. How does it go? All the time. God is good. It's a great part of that movie. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God is perfectly good all the time. No human can ever come close to the level of God's goodness except the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfectly good in Himself, sharing that divine attribute with the Father. And Jesus, of course, is the perfect revelation of goodness in Himself and a profound demonstration of the goodness of the Father. And so nothing is really more appropriate for believers than to bless God, to speak well of Him for His goodness at all times, whether we are in abundance or need, sickness or health, ease or trials and tribulations of life. We praise God because He is good in the midst of all of it. And because Paul is praising God for these spiritual blessings, we see that the spiritual blessings come from God, that God is the blesser, if I could make up a word. The blesser is God Himself. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. God has blessed us. That's a very consistent and reasonable point to make, that the one who is supremely blessed, that is God Himself, and blessed for His goodness, is Himself the supreme blesser, or the one who blesses or bestows good things to others. In James 1:17, we read, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Of course, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Everything from God is good. God blesses us because He loves us. And He is the source of all blessings. Goodness comes from God because there is no other source of perfect goodness except God Himself. Well, who are the blessed ones? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us. To whom does the us refer? Well, we'll go back to verse 1. To the saints. To the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Actually, this was probably a circular letter. It was probably not even entitled to the Ephesians. It was a letter sent to all the churches in Asia Minor, and they were going to pass it along, and it went to Ephesus first, so they put their name on it, and it kind of became known as the letter to the Ephesians. But it was a cyclical letter, went to all the churches. So the us refers to all of the saints. All of the saints. We spoke about this last week. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are called a saint. A saint. Do you feel like a saint? Do you think of yourself as a saint? Why not? What's that? Too much of the old sin nature. Ah, that's dead. That's dead. So we have a choice there, don't we? And we're going to have to make a lot of choices as we go through the book of Ephesians, and especially this passage. We have a choice. Who are we going to believe? Am I going to believe what God has said, or am I going to believe how I feel? You need to choose who you're going to believe. If you're going to believe what God has said, are you going to believe how you feel? How many times has God lied? Zero. Thank you. How many times have your feelings betrayed you? Okay, so who are you going to believe? What God has said, who has never lied, or your feelings? Which, and we don't even know what those things are. We have them, and they're strong, but really, what are they? Who knows? Years ago, I think I may have said this to you before, James Dobson, back in the 1970s, wrote a book, Feelings, Can You Trust Them? It took him 278 pages, basically to say, no, can't trust those things. Okay? We are a saint because God says so, and God doesn't lie. So the saints refer to, the us in verse 1 refers to saints. Those who are saints, those who are faithful, those who have received grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, every single believer, God chooses to shower upon those who believe in His Son the full load of His goodness. The full load of His goodness. I've got a story I'm debating whether I should tell or not. It's the hardest thing about preaching. Well, I'm going to tell it. On one of the Sunday night services, I don't really know what was happening. Reuben came and Ann Kusler came. Just those two. And I had this big sermon ready to go. And my dear brother Reuben asked me, are you going to dump the full load on just the two of us? Didn't quite know how to take that. And I said, let's just pray together and we'll be on our way. God the Father dumped the full load on all of us. We are the blessed ones. Now, when we bless God, we speak well of Him. When God blesses us, He gives good to us. There's a big difference there. We bless God with our words. He blesses us with His deeds. We cannot bless God with goodness because He lacks no good thing. He cannot bless us for our goodness because, well, we don't have any outside of Jesus Christ. Rather, God blesses us with goodness. All things good. He lavishes us with every goodness, every good gift, because that is His nature. Now, we go off the spiritual rails to think that God blesses us because we're being good. Or God blesses us because we've earned it. Or that we merit His blessing in some kind of performance game. And as much as the Bible rails against the performance game, the harder it is we seem to want to cling to it. And we're raised that way, aren't we? When our children do good, when they do good, we say, good boy, good girl. When our dog does good, good boy, good girl. When they do bad, bad boy, bad girl, bad dog, right? We are just so in this performance game. And we bring that into our spiritual lives and we spend our entire life trying to break free of that performance game. Because it is really a pathway to nowhere, spiritually. It is a foul thought. And it causes us to look at spiritual blessings through the lens of self and our performance. And we never know where we stand. Because sometimes we do well, don't we? And other times we don't do very well. And sometimes we do well for a long time, and sometimes we don't do very well for a long time. So we never we're never quite sure where we stand with God. Where do we stand with God? Well, He tells us here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. That word spiritual in the Greek, pneumataki, kind of a hard one to get out. In the New Testament, it is always used in relation to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not a contrast here between spiritual blessing and material blessing. That's not the contrast being drawn here. What Paul is describing is the source of these blessings, which is the Holy Spirit. And thus they are spiritual in nature, can also be material in nature as well. But our minds get distracted in trying to sort that thing out. What blessing is spiritual and what blessing is material? But I don't think Paul is driving at that point. That's not where he puts his emphasis here. I think the emphasis is on the superlative word. Every. Did you catch it? That our Heavenly Father in Christ has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. All of them. Every single one. You're probably waiting for me to ask you the question that I always ask with superlatives. How many of the blessings count in every? All of them. Do you feel in your life right now that you have within yourself every blessing of God? Feel like that? It doesn't really matter, does it? That's right. That's how we have to approach these feelings. Am I going to believe God or am I going to believe my feelings? I don't feel very blessed. It's irrelevant. What does God say? That's what is relevant. Think about that for a moment. What do you suppose is the full extent of the Holy Spirit's blessing? Can you get your brain around that? I can't get my brain around that. Whatever the extent of those blessings that exist, you already possess them. You have them already. They're already yours. They're already part of your life. How do we know? How do you know? That's what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has already given it to you. He's already given you every spiritual blessing in the Holy Spirit's storehouse of blessings. He's already given it to you. Every blessing is not promised for some future time. You already possess them. You already have them. So we don't need to ask God for more blessings. There's nothing more to receive. Because God has already given to you every spiritual blessing that exists. Every single one. So for the believer, it's not that we need to receive something more. Rather, what we need to do is to do something with what we already have. Now, this is nearly unbelievable, isn't it? Because in our spiritual lives, we're thinking, I just need something more. I need something more. This is not working. I'm not where I want to be. I need God to do something more. When the fact is, you've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. You already have it. It's already your possession. It can never be taken away. And so instead of looking at our spiritual lives through the lens of self, oh, how am I doing? What's going on with me? What, you know, how am I performing? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And all of this and that, to try to gauge if I'm being blessed by God or not, we put on God's lens and believe what God says and live life knowing that I've already possess every blessing that the Holy Spirit has to give. That you already have every blessing that the Holy Spirit has to give. I mean, that's an incredible thought. It's almost, like I say, it's almost unbelievable. I mean, how can this possibly be? We go through our Christian lives as though we're starving for something. That we're just waiting for, you know, one of these days, God is going to really pour something out on me and it's going to be all better. And I'll be able to live the Christian life I've always wanted to live. God is up there. I've already given it to you. You already have it. You really need to live in light of what you already possess. These spiritual blessings, Paul tells us, that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. These abundant, unlimited blessings are, what Paul says, in the heavenly places, which include the entire supernatural realm of God, His complete domain, the full extent of His divine operation. That's where these blessings flow, which means to each one of you as a believer in Jesus Christ. See, we have this paradox. We're between two worlds. It's really a two-level existence, a dual citizenship. While we are on earth, we're citizens of the earth, but in Christ, our primary citizenship is in heaven. And as citizens of God's domain, we hold all the rights and privileges that that citizenship grants to us. Even though we are living in a foreign and sometimes hostile place here on the earth, our life is in the supernatural heavenly places. And the key to living as a heavenly citizen while living on the earth at the same time is that because these blessings come from the Holy Spirit, the way to manifest them, Paul would say in Galatians 5:16, is to walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And when we walk or live by the Spirit, He'll produce His fruit in us. Remember the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. These spiritual blessings, the spiritual blessings that we're talking about, every spiritual blessing manifests itself when we are living in the power of and yielded to the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit is driving our life and not me. And not me. Of course, the agent of the blessing is Jesus Christ. That Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The agent of the blessings is Jesus Christ Himself. Christians, you possess every spiritual blessing when you are in Christ. If you put your faith and trust and believed in Him, you are entered into a union with Him. A union with Him. And He is the agent. When we are in Christ, by faith and trust and believing, not a barter system, not trying to give your life to Jesus and He gives you salvation. That's a bartering system. That's a payment system. That's not the gospel. When you believe and you trust, you are put in Christ. Christ is in you. You then become the recipient of every spiritual blessing. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, "But whoever is united with the Lord is one with Him in spirit." Beautiful verse. Whoever is united with the Lord is one with the Lord Jesus in spirit. Of course, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things become new," as we become recipients of the new covenant. And so, when that is a reality for each one of us, what does that mean for the church, the body of Christ? Well, our unity of as Christians is much more than just a matter that we agree on some spiritual doctrines. Our unity as Christians come from a commonness of life, a common eternal life of God that works through our very soul. And we are in that together. Let me read something that was impactful for me by John MacArthur in his commentary on Ephesians. He says this: "All that the Lord has, those in Christ have. Christ's riches are our riches. His resources are our resources. His righteousness is our righteousness. His position is our position. Where He is, we are. His privilege is our privilege. His possession is our possession. What He has, we have. His practice is our practice. And what He does, we do." Now let me switch that up a little bit. Let me give you my version of that. All that the Lord has, those in Christ have. Christ's riches are your riches. His resources are your resources. His righteousness is your righteousness. His position is your position. Where He is, you are. His privilege is your privilege. His possession is your possession. What He has, you have. His practice is your practice. And what He does, you do, and I do. Paul writes in Colossians 1:27, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Oh, what a beautiful verse. Let me just say quickly in conclusion here. And this, I struggled with this part. I sent out emails to friends and other seminarians and asked them, I don't know how to conclude this message. I need some help here. And I got some guidance. But what I came across this morning is this question. When we look at this and say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you." God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. like I said before, it's almost unbelievable because we just don't feel like that. So the question would be, how do we know it's true? More than because that's what it says. Of course, that's enough of what it says. We don't need to go any further. But we can go further than that. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ was blessed with every spiritual blessing that was available to the Holy Spirit? You think so? You think Jesus had received every blessing of the Spirit from the Father while He was here on earth? Do you think He had it all? He had the fullness of God's blessing? You think so? I think so. Look at verse 22 and 23 of the same chapter. It's going to tell us about the church. It says that He, referring to the Father, put all things under His, referring to Jesus' feet, and gave Him, Jesus, to be the head over all things to the church. Church, which is His body, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So if Jesus has received the fullness of God's blessing, and in that verse, we, the church, have the fullness of Him, then we also have the fullness of God's blessing, don't we? We already possess the fullness of God's blessing because Jesus has the fullness of God's blessing. He is the head of the body, the church. The church is the fullness of Christ. So we have to have the fullness of God's blessing. We have to. Logically, there's no other way around it. You have the fullness of God's blessing because you're part of the body, the church. That's how we know it's true. This revelation that you have already the possession of every spiritual blessing really should drive us to a proactive approach to retraining of our mind and the renewal and transformation of our lives. It's what Paul talks about in Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we need our mind transformed to where we more readily believe what God has said than how we feel. Our mind has to be changed so that we always just believe what God said, regardless of how I feel. You have received the full blessings of God. Every spiritual blessing of God, you have. I have. We just have to figure out, okay, now how do we live? Right? How do we live in that? God meets us with that truth, and He calls us to be like His Son Jesus. We always think, oh, Jesus had it easy. I mean, He had all of God's blessings, so you know His life was easy and so forth and so on. Yeah, we got the same stuff. We're in the same position as Him, and God transforms us. So in our present case, one of the things we have to strive for and to work on is how do we get rid of this lens? How do we take this lens of looking at our spiritual life through ourselves first and give it a toss? If glasses weren't so expensive, I would throw mine. Well, how do we do that? Well, one of the ways that we have to approach our spiritual lives is work on the reality of dying. We have to work on the reality of dying to self. As Paul says in Galatians 20, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. That is a reality for every believer. Dying to self. The life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. And Jesus says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, deny yourself. That denial of self, getting self off the throne and the rulership of my life, and looking to what God has done and what God has said always as the first place will help us to see our spiritual lives through God's lens. And when we can see our spiritual lives through God's lens and understand and believe that you have received every spiritual blessing there is, then there's nothing that you can't accomplish in your service to the Lord. Everything is possible through His power that works in us. Let's pray, shall we? Father, again, we are amazed at this. It's almost unbelievable because we certainly don't feel like we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. It seems really like we're always missing something, that there always has to be something more that I haven't gotten line for yet, or that you give to some but not others. And yet here we have your word, and here we have you telling us that we have received every spiritual blessing that exists in your domain. That is a life changer. That tells us who we are as adopted sons and daughters of the living God. And so when we read verses that Jesus is our brother and we are a co-heir with Christ, it helps us to understand we have received the same blessings that He has received. And so, Lord, we would pray that You would help us in this regard, especially as we think about our spiritual lives, which we think about every day. And for so long, we've thought about our spiritual lives through the lens of self. It's all about me. What's going on with me? How am I doing? What am I doing? Am I getting the blessings? Am I not getting the blessings? Me, me, me. That is a fool's errand. And yet, our flesh strives for it. Help us, we pray, through Your Spirit that indwells in each one who believes, to understand the fullness of the glory of this one verse, that each one sitting here today who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and has put their faith and trust in Him has received already, in their possession already, every single spiritual blessing that exists in the mighty domain of God. And then we can live this Christian life in light of that. So I can get a hold of this dying to self thing. It's easy to resist because if I die to self, I'll miss something. I won't get something. I already have everything. I already have all of the blessings that exist, so I can die to self and know that I have ever much more than I would ever possess living for self. I can surrender and lay it all down and know that I lose nothing because I possess everything that You have in the realms of blessings. Help us each to believe it and live it, we pray. For Jesus' sake, and the sake of the church, His body, which is the fullness of Christ Himself. Amen.